offering, and let's give the Lord praise, and we celebrate Him. Don't we love the Lord? Yes. Amen. I'm so excited about hearing from you next week, our special Thanksgiving service. Today, we're continuing a new series. If you were not here this last week, you need to get the kickoff on this. This is a series about the power of praise. This had a lot to do with my life early on as a teenager. One of the things that the Lord showed me, it was very powerful in my life. And actually, I think it was the first series I ever taught to show you how important it is to me. But this is so neat. It will have direct effect on your life. It can have an immediate effect. But I'm telling you, the more you practice it, the more you're able to see, and it becomes even more powerful. Even though I'd been practicing this for a number of years, when I went through the darkest time of my life, this was one of those basic principles that I'm telling you helped me see light. And so no matter how dark the circumstances get, you can see Jesus. And this is one of those weapons of warfare that you can use in your life right now. It has dramatic effect. And so we're going to kick off with Philippians 4:4. And this is Paul preaching, and he was in prison when he wrote this letter. And he refers to rejoice and joy so many times in this letter, okay? And he's in prison. I mean, he could have been beheaded any day. And he was in an atmosphere that was worse than what you're in. I don't know all your situations, but he was in an atmosphere worse than what you're in. And he was rejoicing. Look, for example, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let's all say always. Yes, he meant what he said. I love the way the Amplified brings this out. It means to delight in the Lord, to gladden yourselves in Him. Okay? And again, he said, again I say, rejoice. All right? So I want to tell you, this is something that all of us can do. All of us can do this. And all of us need to do this. Okay? God did not make you a robot. He gave you a chooser. And you all have a chooser on the inside. And I want to tell you, you can use your chooser no matter what things taste like, feel like, what the circumstances are like. You can use your chooser and rejoice and praise the Lord. Because even though our circumstances change, the King of Kings does not change. He's loving us continually. He's worthy of our praise. And I want to tell you, it does you a heaven of a lot of good to praise. Now, Paul put a double emphasis on this on purpose. And this first declaration, you know how people are. You may have thought the same thing. The first declaration, it goes something like this. People will say, well, he didn't really mean always, did he? I mean, this sounds like something, a preachy saying or something. Or something that just, he's being positive. But no. He put a double emphasis. It's like he was saying, you know, he probably felt like, yeah, people would say, does he really mean this? But really and truly, he said, so you would know this is for real, he repeated it again. Yes, that's what I said, always. And I mean what I say. Now, this is opposite of the world's mindset. The world mindset don't operate this way. So you got to get in with God, and you got to agree with God. You got to decide, am I going to be a person of the Word, or am I going to be a person that's ruled by my emotions? Because emotions will tell you not to do this. Okay? I had a number of things go wrong yesterday. I want to tell you, one of the things that happened this week is that I was unloading groceries for the big Thanksgiving week celebration, because it's a week long at our house. But I was getting groceries out, and I tend to carry too much. Eggs jumped off my box and hit the concrete. Do you wonder what that was? I don't know. Concrete. Hey, six eggs just, you know, destroyed. Now, I want to tell you, there was an opportunity for me to back up and say a wordy dird. Oh, no, that's what the normal world mindset is. Or I could back up and just begin to have a praise fit. Have a shout about. Begin to praise and worship the Lord. And so I want to tell you, you do yourself, and you do the atmosphere around you, and you do the enemy, okay? Because I want to tell you, praise affects you. Praise affects the enemy, all right? And praise affects God. I'm going to show you that in a little bit. But I want to tell you, it's better to back up and just have a praise the Lord meeting. Okay? Get your heart in mind. You say, well, that's just doesn't even seem right. No, it doesn't seem right. But you're more than a natural person. You're a supernatural person because Jesus is in you. And you back up and begin to praise the Lord and watch the difference that it makes in the rest of your day. Okay? And so it does. It makes a lot of difference. Some people say, well, you know, what about divorce? What about death? Well, you know, I've lost a job, bankruptcy, rejection, betrayal. I guess I've been through all those. But, you know, is it really possible? What if you're going through a serious long-term sickness? Well, the Bible says rejoice. This is not just from Paul, okay, and being positive in prison. Okay, this is a directive from God. He's showing you a way to operate. Okay, Paul operated this way. And it makes a difference, okay? We're going to look at, matter of fact, he gives the answer to this about how is all this possible in verse 13. I don't have that up there for you. But it's a verse that you probably will recognize. He shares the secret of being able to practice verse 4, and it's in verse 13, and it goes like this. Jesus gives me the strength to do anything. It's through his strength. And the word, the original word that talks about through his strength, Pastor, goes like this. It talks about being infused. Anybody know what infusion is? Yes, you do. All right? I want to tell you, it's a release of something being poured into you. And with Jesus, it's from the inside out. We are being infused because he's in our spirit. We are being infused. His strength is being poured into us from the inside out, from our spirit to our soul and our body. And I want to tell you, Paul learned how to receive that. We can too. How to operate in that. How that we can practice rejoicing in any kind of situation because we can receive, be infused with the strength of Jesus to do anything. And this is his will. This is his desire for us. And we're going to see this in this series, and it's how to overcome anything this world or this enemy can throw at you. Are you interested in that? We're going to see how to look into the unknown, because we all have unknown. We have unknown about this week, but you can look into the unknown and see Jesus, because Jesus has promised he's there. And you can praise your way through it. All right? I hope you're interested in this. Heaven's very interested in you. Being interested in this. Okay? Because as it is in heaven, this is the way he wants it to be with you on earth. Right where you are. Romans 3:4. As a matter of fact, let me share a little bit about Romans 3:3. Well, here it is right here, Romans 3:3. So what if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith or their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and his fidelity to his word? Now let me tell you something. Not everybody, even in Christendom, believes what I'm teaching you today. They don't believe it. And I want to tell you something. There are a whole lot more of them don't practice it. They don't practice this. But wait a minute. Because the crowd or the majority doesn't vote that this is for them or this is true, does that mean that it's not true?
No,
I'm telling you, their lack of faith or their faithlessness does not nullify the Word of God. The Word of God is effective even if they don't practice it. We can practice it. I want to tell you, God's faithful to his Word. And when he says something in his Word, I want to tell you, you can stand on it. Okay, you can practice it. It does. Just because they don't believe it or don't practice it doesn't mean that it's void. All right, and verse 4 says this, by no means. I'm telling you, that's a very strong wording. I don't have time to go there. But it's very strong wording, by no means. Let God be found true though every human being is false and a liar. It is written that you may be justified. Now, this is actually talking about the Lord. It's a capital U. That you may be justified and shown to be upright in what you say and prevail when you are judged by sinful men. Okay? God will prove himself right. His word is true and every man a liar. And when it comes to people saying, well, now that's really going too far. You know what they've told me before? I even had a pastor tell me one time, brother, you're taking this teaching a little bit too far. You're just crossing the line out there. God doesn't expect us to be abnormal. Well, you know, he called us peculiar people. Because we know a truth that the world don't know. Okay, and so it is all right to practice this. It is all right to practice it to the place where the world calls it too far. Okay, and I want to tell you, this may disturb people in church life because they don't practice it. All right, but it's very, very powerful. And look, God will prove himself right in this, and he will prove himself true, and he wants to do it through you. He believes, and he wants you to believe it and live it out. He wants you to be a living message that this is true and this works. So take God at his word. It applies for us. I don't care what the circumstances feel like, what they look like, what it smells like, okay? If Paul was at New Beginnings this morning, he would probably say it in Texas terms. He'd say Patna, or he'd say Bubba or Bubbette. What part of always do you not understand? All times, all circumstances, all situations, regardless. This is a directive from the Lord. Always rejoice. Look to him and rejoice and believe. You see, it's by grace through faith. We express confidence when we praise him and celebrate him. Because you know what? We got confidence that he loves us in spite of what's happening. His love is greater than what's happening. Okay? His loving kindness and mercy. You know, the Bible says that loving kindness and mercy is chasing you down. They may not be on your doorstep right now. You may not be able to see them. The hounds of heaven, loving kindness and mercy. That's what David said in the 23rd Psalm. Hey, mercy and loving kindness are chasing you down. Now, you may not see them right now, but they're trailing you. They're on the way. They'll be there in just a little bit, okay? Because God's promised to take whatever circumstances, all things, he will work all things for good. It doesn't mean that everything feels good at the moment, but he's behind the scene. His loving kindness for you is greater. His mercy for you is greater. Well, I did it myself. His mercy for you is greater. And he wants to show his loving kindness to you. And what he'll do, he'll work it out. He's promised, Romans 8:28, he will work it out for your good and for his glory. And so that's our God. So that is happening. And so we can have confidence that his loving kindness and his mercy, his love for us, is chasing us down. And we express hope and we express love to the Lord by releasing this, giving the shout of victory. Even before the battle's over. Praise is the voice of victory. Don't wait till the crowd votes. Don't wait till the crowd shouts. Don't wait till the whole crowd begins to participate. You go ahead and join heaven ahead of time. Because heaven's already shouting and rejoicing. Heaven is celebrating. There's a difference between joy and rejoice. And I'm just going to give you this little picture because Jesus is your joy. Okay, now. A noun, person, place, or thing. Jesus is your joy. And when you receive Christ Jesus, full measure Jesus comes inside your spirit. Jesus is inside of you. Your joy, the joy, is inside of you. And he's yours and you're his. And I want to tell you, that's the noun. Now I want to tell you, the verb part of that, the action part of that, is rejoicing. And what that is you give an expression with your soul and with your body, you're giving expression to the real joy inside of you. Jesus is inside of you. And so you give expression of who he is to you. To rejoice, you express by faith. Don't wait till feeling. Okay, if you want to try to wait on a feeling, the enemy will keep things stirred up just enough. Keep things stirred up or troubled just enough to ever keep you from rejoicing. Because when you rejoice, it's a weapon against him, an effective weapon against darkness, against the enemy. Remember, he was a praise leader in heaven before he fell. He's allergic to praise. Okay, praise is a weapon against him. It has powerful effect against him. And so he will try to keep you from rejoicing. But when rejoicing is expressing by faith that Jesus, your joy, is in you. And by rejoicing, I want to tell you, heaven's looking. Heaven's listening even when no one else is. Heaven's looking and listening. So with your mouth, with your soul, your body agreeing and declaring the truth in a situation that Jesus is Lord. And so we rejoice. We go ahead and praise the Lord ahead of time. Okay? And what this does, this releases power into your situation. He abides in praise. He inhabits, is what the Bible says. He inhabits the praise of his people. Now, to inhabit means to park there. That's where you hang out. That's your home. And so I'm telling you, praise is his address. And so when you begin to praise and rejoice in the truth that he is my joy inside of me, you begin to give expression of the noun of him in you, expressing by rejoicing. I want to tell you, his manifested presence comes. I want to tell you, when the manifested presence of God gets on a situation, it's different. It's different. Now, I want to tell you, this is true. The question is, are we going to experiment with this or are we going to practice it? How much are we going to practice it? Okay? Don't wait till you feel it before you do it. Choose by faith. Choose by action. Listen to this. You can praise your way into his manifested presence. Now, the big problem here is a lot of people give it a swing and then they stop. No, no. You continue to praise until his manifested presence. All right? Hey, you can praise your way into victory. His victory. You can praise your way into activating your faith. A praise is a spark plug to your faith. It's beautiful how that works. Listen to this. You can praise your way into peace. I want you to see this. Praise edifies and exhorts you and encourages you. Now, I can go around. I can go up and down every aisle and say, do you need a little encouragement? You need a little edification? Do you need to encourage yourself? Anybody need any encouragement? You can encourage yourself by praise. Okay? It has the power to change your mind from seeing the dark to seeing the light. I want to tell you, when you're in the boat and the waves are high and the water's coming into the boat, but you see Jesus, it's okay. Praise helps you see Jesus. It changes your mind to agree with the Word of God. No matter how the wind sounds, no matter what it feels like, no matter if everybody else is crying around you, when you practice praise, it affects your attitude. This is real. You got a bad attitude? You got an attitude of attitude? Begin to praise the Lord. It changes your perspective. It helps you go from seeing the junk to seeing him, to esteeming the Lord and disesteeming the stuff. Remember the seesaw? If you're esteeming the junk, you're disesteeming the Lord. But if you esteem the Lord, you're disesteeming the junk. This helps you get your eyes off the junk and see Jesus and who you are in him. And so praise is also a weapon against the devil. I want to tell you a couple of the ways it has effect is confusion. It brings confusion on the powers of darkness. Okay, we see that in Scripture over and over. I'm going to preach on it later. But just to mention that there's a number of times that the children of Israel were surrounded. Greater forces than what they had. They were instructed to trust the Lord. I want to tell you, pray. You know what praise does? It brings confusion on the enemy. Anybody remember Jericho? I want to tell you, you know the weapon of warfare that he had them use? First, they were trusting the Lord. They weren't trusting their voices. They weren't trusting in a formula. They were trusting God. But God told them to praise. And when they gave the shout of victory, the walls fell down. I want to tell you, the enemy was conquered through praise and worship, okay? It's a weapon against the devil. It brings confusion on his ranks, all right? He's allergic to praise, okay? He can't hang out there when you praise. And praise and thanksgiving ministers to the Lord. I want to tell you, this blesses the Lord. You want to know how to bless the Lord? Praise and thanksgiving blesses him. You say, well, I'm just a human, you know, I'm here, and, you know, he's a great God of the universe. No, no, I am telling you, when you praise him and when you thank him, this ministers to him personally. Amen. All right, he loves this. He loves worship. Okay, Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. This is his presence. You come into his presence with thanksgiving. Begin to give thanks to God. And it's like you're coming right through the gates. A thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Come into his courts and praise him and celebrate him. Somebody try it. I'm telling you, if you will practice this week, every day, you just determine. We're going to have prayer at the end. If you'll just determine in your heart, Lord, I'm just going to obey your word. Holy Spirit, help me obey your word and remind me. I'm going to begin to practice and give thanks to you all through the week. And I want to tell you, you'll show up next Sunday. You'll have so much to be thankful for. You have so much to celebrate what God's done in your life this week. We'll have to say, wait, that's enough. We need someone else to share. It won't be something like you're praying, God, give me something to say. No, you'll have so much to say, we'll have to back you off. Now, boy, that's revival. That's great. And be thankful. Look, this needs to come from the heart and not from the lips. Jesus said there are people that worship me with their lips, but their heart is from far from me. And so he knows the difference. And so go to the heart and be thankful. And say so to him. Now, this is important, you know. Every now and then, I run across someone, and I'm trying to help them with depression or fear, anxiety, and I talk to them about the power of praise and thanksgiving, and they'll say, the Lord knows I'm thankful. You know, it's like a guy, you know, his wife says, why don't you ever tell me you love me? He said, well, I told you when we got married, if I ever change my mind, I'll tell you. No, man. Look, you're designed for love flow. You're designed to be loved and to love. And I want to tell you, this beautiful blonde, I can't tell you how many times a day she hears it. I love you. Okay? When we first got married, I said it a whole lot more every day than she did. But I want to tell you something. It's a close race now. Because there's a lot of power in it. And it affects us. Okay? And I want to tell you something. Say so to him. It does you a heaven of a lot of good, and it ministers to the Lord for you to say so to him. Don't wait till you're sitting in front of a bunch of food. Come on. That irritates me, because as a matter of fact, there's a scripture that says that our word is sanctified, that our meals are sanctified by the word. It'd be just as scriptural to read a scripture over your meal as it is to say thank you. But sometimes the only time some people say thank you is when they're sitting in front of a meal. There's so much to give thanks for. Okay? And so practice thanksgiving and say so to him. Okay? He wants you to hear. Bless and affectionately praise his name. Bless him. Affectionately praise his name. I want to tell you, there's a difference. And me just saying, love you, as I'm going somewhere, or when I stop and look her in the eye and say, I am loving you. Yes, I am. I'm loving you. I'm trying to help you with something, because the Lord sees the heart.
Yes, amen.
And he knows. And I want to tell you, this ministers to him. Okay? And this blesses him. Now, I'm going to kind of jump off the diving board and go into some Tim talk here. And this comes from counseling over a lot of years. The Lord's designed you to be emotional creatures. Emotions are real. For us just to say, well, just ignore them, they're not real. No, they're real. It's a real part of you. He designed that in you. But I want to tell you, there's a healthy place that God designed for your emotional cup. Okay? All of us have an emotional cup.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. If this cup is continuing to fill through the day, through the week. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, if you don't have a healthy release of this cup, it can be unhealthy when it splashes out. Because when this gets full, it just takes one drop of something, whether it's good or bad, for it to spill.
Truth.
Is anybody listening?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is Tim talk, okay? But it goes something like this. The Lord, I really believe the Lord's designed for our emotional cup to be emptied in a healthy way. And it's through loving Him and expressing affectionately. You see affectionately? Affectionately praising Him. I want to tell you where it's right and healthy for you to be an emotional, to empty your cup. And it's before worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's love life expression to the Lord, and it's love life expression to one another. That's healthy release. Okay? I raised boys, and I raised them to be leaders and to be champions, to be ball players. And I had to teach them early on, hey, look, there's a difference between pain and injury. Okay? Don't cry. If you're hurt, I need to know, but don't be crying because of pain. Okay? Hey, you be a big boy. You got to get up. Shake it off. Let's go. But I also taught them that it's good for boys to cry and for men to cry when it comes to Jesus and when it comes to loving on other people. You see, Jesus was tough and tender. Let's not forget that. But I'm here to tell you something. Jesus spent much time alone with Father even when He was on earth. You know what I think that was about? Loving Father. Letting Father love on Him. This is the healthy. When it comes to praise and worship, this ought to be one of the loudest places in the Metroplex. Because I want to tell you something. Shouldn't be any intimidation, any holding back, any, well, I'm just a little reserved for this. No, I want to tell you, this is the healthy time and the healthy place in public and in private worship for you to release your emotional cup, because this benefits you and benefits heaven and scares the devil. Okay. All right, well, that was free. But I want you to catch that. I'm not critical of emotions. I know they're real. I know they can be overwhelming. I understand they come and they hit hard. But when an emotion does not bring honor and glory to God, it's got to be resisted. Amen. You got to treat it like an unruly child and say, no, we're not going there. Okay? I was on a ranch, and I'd ministered at a church, and I was staying with people that owned a ranch, and we went horseback riding, and during the day went horseback riding, and I was on this horse, and he was being a little too aggressive, and so I just decided, well, big boy, if you want to run, I'll enjoy it. And so I just loosened the reins, gave him a little kick. Man, he took off, man. And he was running full speed. And man, I was enjoying it. Okay, it was a thrill. And I got back, and the rancher said, well, you know, boy, he goes pretty fast. I said, yeah, it's a fast horse. He said, I want to give you a little caution. He said, you know, I don't let him run like that. I always hold him back. Because if you begin to let him run like that, he thinks he can do that whenever with whoever. Are you listening? And he said, I have kids ride that horse. I said, man, you spoke to me. I said, now, not only did this rancher speak to me about this horse having free rein, but see, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about emotions having free rein. They need to be under control. The healthy place and the healthy time to empty that emotional cup is with love life with the Lord and love life with one another. Okay? Hey, emotions that don't bring honor and glory to God, and you know what they are, I don't have to describe them. If they don't bring honor and glory to God, they need to be checked in. They need to be reined in. They need to be treated like an unruly child. You need to tell them, stop. We're not going there. Okay? We must choose by our will a position of life. Hey, even when it comes to our emotions. Hey, when it comes to praise or not to praise, thanksgiving or not to give thanks, we choose life or death. Decades ago, I was in a pastor's meeting, and I got a phone call. And actually, it was in my office, and the secretary came in and said, hey, this is an emergency call. I walked over, picked up the phone, and this was from a youth pastor in East Texas that I was very close to, his family, his two little girls, Carlos Manos. And he told me over the phone, he said, my daughter's in the hospital. It's a mysterious thing they can't figure out. They're saying that we could lose her. He said, it's serious, it's bad. We need you. I said, I'm on the way. I walked right into that meeting, said, excuse me, got to go. Just grabbed my Bible, jumped in the car, took off toward East Texas. So on the way, I'm saying, Lord. Because, you know, when you think about someone that you love that's dying, and the doctor said, call the family around. Okay, you know, all these thoughts, man. Hey, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Thoughts and emotions and these imaginations begin to come. And I cried out to the Lord and I said, Lord, Lord, what are we doing today? That's a good question to ask.
Yeah.
Lord, what are we doing today? And he told me, I want to tell you, it wasn't a loud voice, but it was that still inner voice, but it was very clear. And he said, we're going to raise her up. I said, oh, woo! That's great. Okay. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? And he said, praise me. And so I want to tell you, but this was before I got out of the loop here in the Metroplex. All the way to East Texas, I was in a praise service in the car. And I want to tell you, as I began to praise the Lord and worship the Lord, it's okay with me if you don't understand this. He just filled up the car. I had such a blast. I had such a blast enjoying the Lord and praising Him. Was the little girl still in the hospital? Hey, everything that was wrong, still wrong. But he was having me praise and worship him and adore him. And on the way down, he gave me little snippets, little pictures of what I was supposed to do. And boiled down to, when you put the little pictures together, I was to walk into the room and say, the Lord is here and he's in charge. That's all I got. But I want to tell you, in that imagination room, I saw her raising up because Jesus is going to raise her up. And so I get to the hospital, walk in, find the critical care area, and they show me this room, and I come walking in, and when I walked in, the family's gathered around the little girl, and Carlos Mano said, well, looky here, Pastor Tim's here. And I said, no, the Lord is here, and he's in charge. And when I said that, the little girl hadn't moved, sprang up, sat up in bed, and threw up this green stuff. Okay, this green stuff went all over the bed. The nurse that was in there trying to take care of her, she said, what is this? I've never seen this. I've got to get a sample of this for the lab. I'll never forget her saying that. And so in the meantime, she ushered all of us out. And so I go out, and about 15, 20 minutes later, they call the dad and the mom and dad back in. They've called the doctor to come in. And so about 30 minutes after that, we're all out in the waiting room. And the dad and mom come out, and they're smiling. And they said, the doctor said that this is not the same girl he saw this morning. She's changed. She's healed. And we're going to watch her another day or so, and we're getting her ready to go home. Now, I want to tell you, it's a big difference between your loved one going home instead of going to the cemetery. And I want to tell you what that was. That was just Jesus. But I want to tell you, that was all Jesus. I didn't have, you know, and this is what Dad said to me out in the waiting room. He said, man, when I called you this morning and asked you to come, I didn't know you was going to come do some kind of big deliverance thing. I said, I didn't know either. I said, man, don't look at me like I understand. My part, your part, is to praise the Lord before it's over. And to give thanks to God in the middle of everything taking place. And just do what God says and say what God says and rest in Him. Now I want to tell you, that's not just for me. That's for us. And that's why Paul emphasized this so much. When I started praising God, because I want to tell you something, I had the same emotions anybody else would have. I had the same images crossing my mind. But I want to tell you, praise was a spark plug of faith to me that day. God used it. Colossians 2:7. have the roots of your being firmly. Do you remember me talking to you about the tree in Psalm 1?
Yes.
With the roots planted deep and tender care in the water of the Word of God, have your roots being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him. I want to just say to you, this is our part. This is our part. Somebody dared to do this. Be saturated and centered in Him. It's okay for us to have a hobby. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you something. Something's wrong when we're more firmly and deeply planted in a hobby than we are Him. Now, if you're firmly and deeply planted in Him, a hobby's not going to hinder you. But if you're more firmly and deeply planted in a hobby than you are Him, the hobby can hinder you. Even if it's not a bad thing. Do you understand? Okay, but our part is to be firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him. Are you getting the picture? Not coasting. There's no room for neutral. But to be continually built up in Him. Are you seeing this? Become increasingly more confirmed. Hey, this requires some diligence. This is not just thinking about God one day a week. Okay, it's more than just having a quiet time with God. This is saturating yourself in Him. This is something all of us can do. Why not? Your life's going to be better off as a result. The people you love are going to be better off as a result. But to be increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Can you honestly say that the Lord changed you when you got saved? Because if you don't have any change when you got saved, you're not really saved. The Bible says, except a man be converted. That means change. There's change that takes place when you receive Christ. But the second best testimony of a believer that we need to hear next week is that the Lord is continuing to change us. We're allowing Him to continue to change us because we're growing, becoming more established. Just as you were taught, and look at this. Here's an important ingredient in all this. This is like the pulse rate, the heart rate of a believer is to be abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Wow! Abounding and overflowing with thanksgiving. And so, Pastor, can we do this too much? No. We're to be abounding and overflowing with thanksgiving. What God's doing. Okay? And so I want to tell you, when you think, or when the world says to you, you know, you just kind of going a little bit too far. That's what I was telling you. That pastor told me one time. You know, you just take this a little too far. You know, this is not really normal. Well, He didn't call us to be normal. He called us to be wholehearted with Him. And to practice things. When you think that you're doing it too much, you may be about there. The time where you need to practice thanksgiving and praise the most is when you feel like it the least. Okay? Look, this is not deep. This is children's church stuff, but this has got to be practiced. Okay? Look, listen. What is the Lord saying to you? The Lord is here. And He's announcing He's in charge. Let's treat Him like it. Like He really is the King. Unbelievers are thankful after an event. If it turns out right. But we got to involve faith and praise and give thanks. Get free from the world mindset that embraces failure and considers a regular dose of self-pity the normal lifestyle. That's not for the believer. We've got a higher calling. That's not abundant life. That's normal world lifestyle. Let's be Bible normal. Amen. Let's be kingdom normal, not world normal. Quit drinking the society's Kool-Aid. Because society's Kool-Aid's got excuses in the cup for you to be, it's just okay for you to be depressed and to be selfish and to be self-focused. And you know what the world does? The world tells you to put yourself on the throne. Put your feelings on the throne. That's real. I'd like to write a book and say, get off the throne. I might sell a bunch of copies. But here it is. Hey, you weren't designed to be worshipped. You were designed to worship.
Amen.
You weren't designed to be worshipped. I tell you what, when you put yourself on the throne and you even allow other people to worship you, I'm telling you, your stuff gets messed up in a hurry. It gets complicated. It becomes drama team. Drama club. Esteem Christ and disesteem self. I don't really respect psychology. I minored in it. Okay, so I took a lot of it. But the further I went along in it, the more distasteful it was to me. Because I want to tell you, it's full of humanism. And I was having to look past so much and try to get something good. Okay, earlier levels were a bunch of fun, especially child psychology. I enjoyed watching the kids and the babies and age characteristics. There were some things I gained from that. But you get deeper into that. It's humanism. And you know what? Bottom line, the success rate is not very good at helping people. They don't like to say that, I'm telling you. But it goes something like this. Now, not everybody's saying this, but it goes something like this. You know, you can't help it because of all the bad stuff that happened to you. You can't help it.
Lord.
And you know, your people, circumstances, life has made you a victim. And it's just okay for you to recognize that you're a victim. And you're a victim. And you'll always be a victim. And it's okay for you to suck your thumb and moan and groan because you deserve some self-pity here. And it's okay for you to feel sorry for yourself. And it's okay for you to have all these troubles. Now, it's okay for you to talk about it, and we need to talk it to death. It's okay for you to focus on it and get other people around you that agree with you and justify it and celebrate that you're a victim. And what we're going to do through psychology is just try to help you manage it. Now look, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but the Bible has a better way. Okay, hey, listen to this. Jesus takes our burdens and our troubles, and he gives us peace. It's an exchange program. He said, bring your burdens unto me, and I will give you rest. Okay, Jesus takes our burdens. He takes our troubles. He gives us peace, help, comfort, healing, deliverance, abundant life. This is truth. Does that sound better to you? Well, the world don't believe it. And I want to tell you, if you're a Christian and don't believe it, it's not going to work for you. But you're the one missing out because Jesus paid for it. Philippians 4:4, listen, this is what Paul said. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in him. And again, I say rejoice. Paul was saying what God was saying. Rejoice always in the Jesus that's in you. He is in you. He's your joy in you. Not celebrating the circumstance, because the circumstance can stink bad. It can hurt bad. But you're celebrating him by grace through faith, because he's your joy. And so you express thanksgiving to him all the time, and you see the present power of him to change you, remember, infusion, from the inside outside.
Amen.
Okay. People feel guilty about the mess in their life. God didn't design you to walk around in condemnation. Now, he will convict you. But condemnation is not from him. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There is an accuser of the brethren, and that's the enemy. So look, here's what people tend to do. Number one, they tend to blame other people. I can't tell you how many I've met with, and Pastor, it goes like this. Well, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault, and they want to blame everybody else. Don't do that. Second thing they tend to do is to blame God. God could have prevented all of this. He allowed this to happen to me. Okay? Don't blame God. It wasn't God. There is an enemy that's come to steal, kill, and destroy, and it's not God. it probably had a lot to do with you.
Right.
But here's the deal. You're not going to get better by blaming yourself. I tell you, the people that blame themselves say something like this, well, I'll never ever deserve anything good. I don't deserve it. I deserve bad. Bad, bad's coming my way. Okay? Don't blame yourself. But you do need to take responsibility for wrong choices. You do need to take responsibility for your response. And you know what you do with the responsibility? Well, what do I do with it? You bring it to Jesus. You bring it to Jesus and He takes it from you. And He gives you peace and rest in its place. All right? He'll take your mess and give you refreshing peace, liberating love, fresh hope for the future. That's our Jesus. And so you can choose to submit to God and praise Him and give thanks. You can choose to celebrate Him. He's worth celebrating. Hey, here it is. You'll never be a victor until you stop being a victim.
Amen.
This is talking about doing the word. Okay? I've had him tell me, Brother Tim, you shouldn't talk to me that way. Well, no, I'm trying to help you. Okay? If you remain a victim, you'll never be a victor. Apply the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Sometimes it takes cold-blooded obedience. You love Him and do what He says. Choose Jesus over yourself. Look at this scripture in Philippians 4, 5 and 6. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness. Let me tell you what unselfishness is. It's love. So you let, hey, you love Jesus. Let Jesus love on you and you love on others with His love. Let all men know, I mean to everybody. Don't matter how they voted. Don't matter what they look like. Don't matter if they like you or not. Am I right? Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness. Somebody say your love.
Love.
Your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. That's love for Jesus and love toward others. Love God and love others. Man, that's deep, isn't it? And look at this. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. I want to tell you, that's our hope. See, we have hope in us loving on people. I want to tell you, we're in the season that the Lord could appear anytime. But I want to tell you something. I'm not waiting until He appears. I'm going to go ahead and celebrate Him now. I'm going to go ahead and love on people now, because I want to tell you something. If He doesn't appear in the sky in the next day or two, He's going to appear in my life in the next day or two.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
And so I want to tell you, the Lord is coming. He's on the way. Personal manifestation or in the sky, either way, it's good. All right? This could be the day. So do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Now, when I show people that, they act like they've never seen that word, anxiety. No, I'm serious with you. But this is what He's saying. We're to practice verse 5. See, it all goes together. You grab just one verse out of something, you can miss it. But you walk in the love of Jesus, and you walk in the love with other people, and you have the hope in you that the Lord is going to be manifested either here, there, or in the air. Okay? And you don't fret. Don't fret or have anxiety about it. This is how you don't do that. It's by practicing verse 5. But in every circumstance and in everything, are you getting this?
Yes.
By prayer and petition, definite, be specific in your request. He loves you to be specific. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And so I want to tell you, thanksgiving and prayer hold hands. Okay? Hey. You ask the Lord for something, go ahead and give thanks for it. You say, well, I hadn't showed up yet. You thank God, man. You don't wait on that. You thank God for who He is, and you begin to love on Him and celebrate Him. Okay? Now, I want to tell you something. Some of the versions say, be careful for nothing. Okay? For nothing. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Anything, anything. Not anxious, no worry, no fear. And so I want to tell you, this is out of my personal life. My precious little parents, very precious. And they know I drive too fast every now and then. Okay. Brother Rich keeps the mighty Red Hawk running good. But it goes like this. They know I drive a little too fast sometime on the road. And I'm on the road quite a bit. And so they'll tell me, you know, this is normal human communication. They'll tell me before I leave, now take care, son. Be careful. Take care. Now, I want to tell you, hopefully we'll tell them before they hear this. But I got to tell them because I've been thinking on it. You know, don't say take care no more. Don't tell me to be anxious, fretful, or worried. Okay? I know what they're saying. They're concerned not about my truck. Amen. They don't want me to go to heaven before they do.
Amen.
I know what they're saying. There's love in that. But I want to tell you, it's wrong thinking. Because I want to tell you what we need to say to one another. Be careful now. Be worried. Be anxious. Be care, full of care. No. This is what we say to one another. Trust in the Lord. Walk in peace.
Yes, amen.
Great grace and peace be unto you. Hey, enjoy His faith. Enjoy the Lord today. Don't give me this. Be anxious. Be carry. Be full of care. Is anybody listening?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to help you. There's a lot of excuses, but there's no reason to refuse to praise. Verse 6 says, prayer with thanksgiving. This means that you're celebrating the victory. You're trusting and leaning on Him. And I'm going to wrap this up right here. Because this is our precious privilege. Okay? Those of you joining us on podcast, thank you. We love you. There's more to come. Tune in next week. And we love you. Let's all give the Lord a thank you offering for all those listening in. Okay, let me pray.